EWTN Global Catholic Radio presents The Priesthood of Jesus Christ. Father Frederick Miller discusses the priesthood through the ages from the Old Testament times to the modern day. Here is Father Miller.
Hello, my name is Father Frederick Miller, and we continue our series on the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Today I would like to look with you at the theology of the Second Vatican Council of the priesthood. You might remember a few segments back, we spoke about the Protestant Reformation, which I consider the first major attack on the priesthood of Jesus Christ in the history of the Church. And in that segment, I explained that Martin Luther held that all the baptized are priests, and that there is no other priesthood in the Church. There's no ordained or ministerial priesthood in the Church. Now, Martin Luther was partly correct and partly in error. And the Second Vatican Council wanted to make it very clear that Catholics have always believed in the universal priesthood of all believers. To deny it would be to deny the very mystery as contained in the New Testament. All the baptized, by virtue of their incorporation into Jesus Christ, share in his priesthood, which, as I explained in the last segment, means that each of us, by virtue of baptism, has direct access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We can always approach the Father in faith and in hope and in love whenever we will. And we also have the power to offer ourselves and the responsibility to offer ourselves as living and holy sacrifices acceptable to God. And we do that by obeying the commandments of the Lord, by being faithful to our duties, and by accepting the suffering that God allows to come into our lives. So while affirming the universal priesthood of all believers, the fathers, that is the bishops of the Second Vatican Council, wanted also to affirm the existence of the ministerial priesthood in the Church, the ordained priesthood. And I'd like to read the summary of this that we find in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And the Catechism here is largely quoting from the Dogmatic Constitution on the Church of Vatican II, which is entitled in Latin, Lumen Gentium. Paragraph 1546 of the Catechism says this: Christ, high priest and unique mediator, has made of the Church a kingdom, priests for his God and Father. The whole community of believers is as such priestly. The faithful exercise their baptismal priesthood through their participation, each according to his own vocation, in Christ's mission as priest, prophet, and king. Through the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, the faithful are consecrated to be a holy priesthood. You see, by virtue of baptism, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, and that sealing, that indelible character of the Holy Spirit, makes us sons and daughters of God the Father in his Son, Jesus Christ. By receiving confirmation, again, our soul is sealed. We receive a spiritual and indelible mark, which draws us into Jesus' mission. St. Thomas says confirmation configures us or conforms us to the mystery of Jesus' baptism. And so by virtue of our confirmation, we have the grace and the responsibility to work for the salvation of all humankind. And by virtue of these sacraments of initiation, we participate in the priesthood of Christ. Paragraph 1547 continues. The ministerial or hierarchical priesthood of bishops and priests, and the common priesthood of all the faithful, participate each in its own proper way in the one priesthood of Christ. While being ordered one to another, they differ essentially. They differ essentially. In what sense? While the common priesthood of the faithful is exercised by the unfolding of baptismal grace, a life of faith, hope, and charity, a life according to the Holy Spirit, the ministerial priesthood is at the service of the common priesthood. It is directed at the unfolding of baptismal grace of all Christians. The ministerial priesthood is a means by which Christ unceasingly builds up and leads his church. For this reason, it is transmitted by its own sacrament, the sacrament of holy orders. You see, when a man is ordained a bishop or a priest, he is again sealed by the Holy Spirit with the mark of Christ. He receives a new spiritual and indelible character or mark on his soul, which empowers him to act in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ uses those who are ordained for the extension of his ministry in the world until the end of time. And it's through the sacrament of holy orders that the bishop and the priest and the deacon in his own way assists the people of God in living out their baptismal priesthood. The Second Vatican Council wanted to make it quite clear that all of the faithful participate in the priesthood of Christ, and from the faithful, Christ calls men to share in a unique way in his priesthood. I think that we can say, and this is a bit of a generalization, that before the Second Vatican Council, when people heard the term priest or priesthood, they thought pretty much of their parish priest, the priest who cared for their local community. Priest meant pastor, the man who celebrated the Eucharist every Sunday, the man who baptized the young, the man who prepared the children to receive the sacraments of first penance, first holy communion, of confirmation. Priest meant the man who lived down the street or up the road, to whom you went to confess your sins, to seek spiritual guidance. He was the man you would go to prepare to receive the sacrament of matrimony. He came to see you in the hospital when you were ill. He came to visit you when someone in your family died. He was there in the good times and in the rough times. And he represented in a very special way Jesus Christ. And that was an absolutely correct and wonderful way of looking at the priesthood. But the fathers of the Second Vatican Council, I think, stretched our understanding of the priesthood. And I think we're still trying to catch up to the wonderful movement of the Holy Spirit that took place at the Second Vatican Council. Because now, when we say priesthood, I think the Holy Spirit wants us to understand, first and foremost, Jesus Christ ascended into glory as the high priest, as the mediator between God and man. And certainly in the past we believed that and we lived that. But now perhaps we're being called to make that more explicit in our teaching and our understanding of the priesthood. When we talk about the priesthood, we're talking in the first place always about Jesus Christ, who is the one priest in the church who shares his priesthood with all believers. And then from that body of believers, with a brother's love, the church tells us, he calls men to share in his priesthood in a new way. He calls men to the episcopacy, to the priesthood, to the diaconate. And they live in the midst of the church, they serve in the midst of the church, promoting holiness among the people of God. Let's look for a moment at the local church, the diocese, because I think since the Second Vatican Council we've become much more sensitive to the local church and the existence of the local church. In the diocese, the bishop is the high priest. He is the icon, of Jesus Christ in the midst of the church. This is what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says about the bishop. The Second Vatican Council teaches that the fullness of the sacrament of holy orders is conferred by episcopal consecration. That fullness, namely, which both in the liturgical tradition of the Church and the language of the fathers of the Church is called the high priesthood, the acme, the summa, of the sacred ministry. Episcopal consecration confers, together with the office of sanctifying, also the offices of teaching and ruling. In fact, by the imposition of hands and through the words of the consecration, the grace of the Holy Spirit is given and a sacred character is impressed in such wise that bishops, in an eminent and visible manner, take the place of Christ himself, teacher, shepherd, and priest, and act as his representative. In Latin it says, they act in his very person. By virtue, therefore, of the Holy Spirit who has been given to them, bishops have been constituted true and authentic teachers of the faith, and have been made pontiffs and pastors. You see, the bishop is the priest in the diocese who represents and makes present in a special way the priest, Jesus Christ. It is the bishop who teaches with the authority and with the power of Jesus Christ. In fact, the first and the most important duty of the bishop is to teach the Word of God within the Catholic tradition, to uphold that teaching, to defend it, and to explain it to all the priests and to all the people. In fact, the gift that the bishop receives in his ordination, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is especially ordered to his teaching ministry. The bishop is the teacher par excellence in the Church. It's through the bishop that we have communion with all the other churches, all the other bishops spread throughout the whole world, and it's through the bishop in the diocesan community, it's through him that we have communion with St. Peter in the person of our Holy Father, the Pope. The bishop is the one who puts us into intimate communion with the Church, which we call Catholic, the Church which is universal. The bishop, however, is unable to exercise his ministry alone. There are too many people, too many churches, too many parishes, and the bishop needs co-workers in his ministry. And so he recognizes among the people of God the vocation to the priesthood. And after long years of preparation, the bishop ordains other men as his co-workers in the priesthood at the rank of the presbyterate. And the priests of the Church spread throughout the whole diocese in a very beautiful way make the bishop present in the local communities, and the priests join the bishop in his work as teacher, sanctifier, and shepherd of the people of God. The priest, like the bishop, in his ordination, receives the gift of the Holy Spirit and the seal of the Holy Spirit, which gives him the authority and the power to teach, to sanctify, and to shepherd in communion with the bishop and all the other priests of the diocese. If you've ever been to a priestly ordination, I'm sure that you were moved by the rite itself, because after the Gospel of the Mass, each of the men to be ordained priest comes to the bishop, and the bishop in silence, standing, imposes his hands on the head of the new priest. And that sign, the imposition of hands, bespeaks the communication of the power and the authority of Jesus Christ that comes to us in the church from the apostles, from Christ through the apostles. Then, after the bishop imposes hands, all the priests who were present, sometimes hundreds and hundreds of priests, impose their hands on the head of the man who was being ordained to show that the man who is being ordained is being taken into a community of priests that will assist the Episcopal order in the diocese and throughout the whole church and throughout the world in promoting the kingdom of God. Then the new priest is prayed over by the bishop. The bishop says the prayer of consecration, and the bishop asks the Holy Spirit to renew within the priest the spirit of holiness and to give him the grace and the power of the priesthood. After the bishop completes that prayer, the man is a priest of Jesus Christ forever, sealed with the character of Christ, the priestly character. He possesses the power then to change bread and wine into the Lord's body and blood, to make the sacrifice of the cross present on the altar. He has the power to forgive sin and to comfort and strengthen the sick, to preach the word of God, and to exercise the priestly ministry in pastoral service. The new priest's hands are anointed with sacred oil, with chrism, to show that he is to consecrate and to bless and to bring healing and blessings to the people of God. Then the bishop also recognizes in men, married or lay, single, the call to the diaconate. And the deacon is ordained to assist the bishop and to assist the priests of the diocese in the ministry of the word, the ministry of the altar. Deacons assist at the Holy Eucharist. They baptize. The bishop can give them the faculty to assist at marriages, to assist at funerals. And the deacon is ordained in a special way to care for the works of charity of the church. Second Vatican Council and the subsequent teaching on the priesthood states that bishops and priests are ordained to the priesthood of Jesus Christ and participate in Christ's priestly power. The deacon is not ordained to the priesthood, but rather is ordained to the ministry. The Catechism states very clearly that when a man is ordained a deacon, whether he is going to go on to the priesthood or remain as a permanent deacon, that man is sealed with the Holy Spirit. He receives a spiritual and indelible character which strengthens him, gives him, provides him with the grace to fulfill his ministry as deacon. Allow me to make 2 points before I conclude. First of all, it should be very clear that the Second Vatican Council reminded us that anyone who was ordained in the church, anyone who receives this tremendous grace of holy orders, is ordained to serve the people of God. The bishop, the priest, is not exalted above the people. He's placed at the heart of the Christian community, and he's ordained to exercise humble service, to teach the word of God, to administer the sacraments, to be with the people in all of their good times and bad times. Secondly, Vatican II wanted to make it clear to us that the priesthood is the communion of all the faithful with their bishop, their priests, and their deacons in the community of the church. And so, after the Second Vatican Council, when we say the priesthood, we really have to stretch our minds to understand the richness of Jesus' gift in the church. He is the priest, and he shares his priesthood with all of us. He calls from the midst of the church men to serve the needs of others. And in every local church, he is especially present in the person of the bishop, who teaches, who sanctifies, who governs with his, in his name and with his authority and with his power. The bishop joins to himself priests and deacons who assist him, who are his co-workers in the work of redemption. And all of this structure established by Jesus Christ is for the sake of the salvation of the human race and the glory of the Heavenly Father.
Please join us next time for The Priesthood of Jesus Christ with Father Frederick Miller on EWTN Global Catholic Radio.
Holy Rosary, daily on the Global Catholic Network, EWTN.